ओम शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग। व्हेन देयर्स अ गुड टीचर, इवन दो द सब्जेक्ट माइट बी वेरी कॉम्प्लिकेटेड, दे मेक द सब्जेक्ट वेरी सिंपल। एंड वन ऑफ द रीजंस व्हाई आई लव बाबा इज बिकॉज बाबा हैज मैनेज्ड टू टीच दोज who don't know a thing about the Indian scriptures. I hadn't read the Gita, I hadn't read the Mahabharata or the Ramayana before I came to Baba. And yet Baba explained things in such a simple, sweet way that the whole thing fell into place and made sense. And you could even talk to other people about these things and give them more insights than they already had. And so Baba made Gyan very simple. Just the word Om. The word Om in Bhakti is so, so complicated. I don't even want to go there and tell you. You don't need to know. And yet Baba made it very simple. I am. That's it. And then Om Shanti. I am peace. That's it. And so literally a child can understand Gyan. And then the subject of yoga. When I would hear about yoga from other people, they would talk about the 8 steps of Patanjali, they would talk about all these complicated things that, again, I wasn't interested, I didn't want to go there. And Baba changed that whole subject with one word, remembrance. And again, remembrance makes it very simple, very natural, very easy. Again, dharana, the same, Baba explains everything very easily. And so today also, Baba has explained the subject of service and made it very simple so that you can even think about service as something that's ongoing all day. Baba said day and night, and yes, I know that Brahma Baba, Mamma, the Dadis did do that literally. Dadi Janki used to relate her dreams in the early days, and she would sometimes dream of future service, sometimes she would dream of present service, and even in a last period, Hansa and Devi used to laugh and say that when Dadi's asleep, what she does is she's making this sort of action with her hands as if she's taking up dolies and giving dolies. And then sometimes they would call her and say, Daddy, it's time. And she'd say, no, I need 5 more minutes to finish my dolies. Literally she would say that, and she'd again disappear for another 5 minutes. So we've seen that service can happen day and night. But for many of us, even if it happens all day, that's wonderful. But how to make service happen through the whole day so that all complaints stop? Otherwise, it's service that brings the biggest number of complaints. I didn't get a chance, somebody else took my chance, somebody else has been given more chance than me. All these things come into play. And of course then all the game of the sanskars also happens. And yet Baba explains service first and foremost as serving yourself. And yes, it's true. If I serve myself, then that's going to be the basis for me to be able to serve others. But we often forget about this. And so the balance of remembrance all day and night, and then service, and that brings blessings. So even if there's nothing else I can do, I don't have skills, I don't have expertise, I don't have anything, but I can work on myself. And so Baba's put that into the category of service. And then service also by serving the world. And Baba said, you know about this, you know a lot of information about how to serve through words. and then thirdly, serving the yajna. And Baba's mentioned two very specific ways of serving the yajna, with my body and with my wealth. And both are equal. If I'm giving my time, my skills, my energy to Baba, or if I'm giving money to Baba, so serving the yajna third. And the fourth, again we've heard very complicated things about mansa seva. And Baba's made it again very, very simple. And so we talk about sakaj. Can I give sakaj? And how can I give sakaj? And okay, so Baba has taken up the subject of sakaj with mansa seva in many other muralis. But today Baba's made even mansa seva extremely simple, saying that all you need to do is to have pure feelings, elevated thoughts. You can have good wishes for others, elevated good wishes, your attitude and your vibrations. This is the way to do mansa seva. And so yes, understanding it is now very simple, and then doing it to make sure that the quality of my thoughts and my feelings and my attitude and everything else is elevated all the time is then the work that I need to do on myself. Then that mansa seva can happen. But again, in certainly two of the things, whether your body is healthy or not healthy, whether you have anything or you don't have anything, amazing ways in which you can add up the marks for service. Because Baba was saying, in all subjects there's equal marks. It's not that one type of service is better than another type of service, but all service brings you equal marks. And so even if you focus on the two that you can do, even if the body is not well, you can work on the self, you can do mansa seva, you can still claim the highest reward. So today's murali has made everything very, very simple. It's good. And then the blessing that Baba has given today, it's something that I've often thought about, but today Baba's actually spelt it out. It is the biggest virtue of all, and that is contentment. And another thing that Baba has said, even if you become a great donor, and whether that's thoughts, words, actions, whatever it may be, but even if you become a great donor, in the final period, the highest service you'll be able to do is through your stage of contentment, and that will then be being the bestower of blessings. When you attain the highest state of contentment, you are able to give blessings to others. And this is then the memorial that continues in bhakti, the ones who are able to give blessings. So Baba's putting contentment as the highest of all virtues. Purity is the foundation, and it's not even really a virtue, it's really the intrinsic quality, the original core quality of the soul. So of course that has its own part, but in terms of how we develop virtues, and I don't think anyone is born with contentment, because when we're born and as we grow, we're constantly seeing what others have and how can I have the same. And it starts from age 4. My friend has this, I want this also, in terms of everything. And so this wanting, this desire, that's coming up all the time in so many different ways. And so it's when we come to Baba, maybe sometimes a few lucky individuals have thought about contentment pre-gyan, but certainly when we come to Baba, then Baba tells us, I give you everything. Now how much of it you take and how much of it you keep and how much of it you use. And so how much do you take? That's the first step. How much is it that I'm keeping, not allowing it to leak away? How much do I then use, and how much am I serving others with that? So each step along the way, a multiplication of that same quality. And so I can develop. And so that state of contentment, when I use those virtues in my life, the treasures that Baba has given me. And so the question is, am I using the treasures that Baba's giving me? And so whether it's the treasures of time, the treasures of the assets that I have, the treasure of connections that I have, but most importantly, the treasure of knowledge, the treasure of virtues, and the treasure of powers. And so as I fill myself with all of these, then truly I can get to the point where I say, what more is there do I need? And so I think why most Brahmins, and I think the majority of Brahmins have managed lockdown pretty well. There are a few who haven't been able to, but they're also getting help from their local centers, I know. But generally speaking, because anyway, whether it's physical presence or whether it's online, but there's that feeling of connection and connectedness every morning, and not just with Shiv Baba in corporeal or Brahma Baba in the subtle region, it's with the family, a little family, a big family. And so lockdown hasn't really felt isolation in that way as it is for some people, many people, but we feel that sense of the gathering and the energy of the gathering, even through CyberNet, whatever it is we're using, we're feeling that connection. But also, I think where people have missed going out to eat, going out to theatre, going out for this, that and the other, shopping and all of that, Baba made us drop all of that a long time ago. And so none of us have missed any of that, I'm sure, because we renounced it very willingly. Baba didn't make us renounce it, but Baba explained and we realized that our time is not to be wasted in any of those external things. But today, just looking and seeing, yes, I do know I have treasures, but am I really fully content within myself? And am I appreciating all the treasures that Baba has given me already? And so Baba didn't say, I'm going to give you these treasures in Satyug. Baba said, I've given them to you from your moment of birth. And then, did you recognize them? Did you use them? And so today, if I'm looking inside and seeing, is the jar full? And why it is that contentment is so important? Because it creates stability. When there's discontent, the soul fluctuates. And so Baba gave the other day the example of the bean jar. And when the jar is full, you try and shake it, but nothing shakes, nothing moves. There's stability there. And if there's even a little bit of space, a little bit of movement, more space, and there's a big noise, and more space, and a jar that's almost empty and just has a few beans, it makes a lot of noise. Literally, the level of noise goes higher as the quantity in the jar gets lower. And that's exactly what's happening with the soul. The noise that comes, the peacelessness that comes, or even the complaints that come, is because I haven't filled the jar. I haven't filled the soul. And so, if I am complaining about something, someone, anyone, anything, then it's important to look and see, well, what is it that I'm not taking from Baba? And so that state where I feel full and content, then that's a stage of stability, where then I can really make progress. Also, when there's a state of contentment, then there's not so much irritation. Where I'm empty, little things can trigger a lot of reaction. And it's a surprise, something very minor has happened, but the amount of reaction that's come is huge. And so there's a very straight line connection there, the contentment or discontent and the reactivity that's going on. So just keep checking this aspect of contentment and being able to move forward with that. And if I can come to that state where my contentment is able to give others that experience of peace, then yes, truly, they've received a blessing. When somebody isn't content, then they can create a wave of discontent around them. So the vibration around them is one in which others also feel a little bit nervous, a little bit fearful or anxious. But contentment and what you're doing is creating a vibration of peace around you. And you notice this with all the Dadis. Dadi Gulzar, of course, absolutely exceptional because the chariot of God and so amazing fortune of that soul, but also the feeling of the presence of peace wherever she is. But Dadi Janki also, souls coming in crying. Literally, we saw them come in tears and leave very content, smiling. So we've seen it done in practice, and so it becomes a very simple way for us to do the same and follow the same thing. And so I'm seeing that this particular blessing is a very powerful reminder of the stage that we need to attain in order to be able to fulfill Baba's task in this final period now. And so if I want to know to what extent I'm progressing, I literally just have to look at the mirror of the Murali. What is the Murali saying and what am I experiencing? And if there's a big gap in that, then I know how much more work I need to do on myself and to be able to catch up with that. The other thing that Baba's mentioned today, that again we've heard about it very often, but the practical experience of that is again very powerful. And Baba's just picked up on two words, yours and mine. And in Hindi also the words very simple, tera mera. So when I come to Baba and truly I realize that Baba is the parent who's willing to take responsibility for me, and I'm willing to hand over responsibility to Baba. Not easy to let go. That's the challenge for all people. We don't want to let go of responsibility. And I'm not thinking about throwing away responsibility, but when Baba's saying that I am responsible for you, I am also responsible for your task. And if you really keep that awareness and it's that surrender to God, then in that state you become very light. And the other state where it's mine and my, and so my and mine, and I'm hanging on to that and I'm not dealing with it very well, but it becomes more and more of a burden. And so to be able to be free and experience that state where everything is moving on and it's moving on in the right way, that's because you know that Baba is responsible. And so Baba's talking to a group and telling them, well, how can you experience lightness? And it's something that we sometimes forget. Most things, Baba's given us all the gyan and we remember the gyan, but at the moment of need, when it's a particular situation that we're in, then we don't always remember the lesson that Baba has taught us. And I think if it's only at the time of need, then maybe I'm not going to be able to remember. Because at a time of need, at a time of crisis, it's whatever is natural, whatever it's I'm accustomed to, that's what kicks in. It's your habit that kicks in. At that moment, you don't consciously think, now, hold on, do I do this, do I do this? It doesn't work like that. It's a crisis, and whatever is inherent and natural is going to come in. And so this is why when Baba's saying, make sure that you keep the stock of all the virtues with you, you keep the stock of all the powers and even all the jnana with you, be the embodiment of jnana, be the embodiment of virtues, then it's natural and it's there within you, and that's what will help at that moment. And so to experience lightness, even though there's constantly so much going on, and that's true for everyone, whether I'm in a limited household with four people or I'm in a big family, the Brahmin family with many around me, so lokik, alokik, doesn't matter, but there's a lot going on for everyone, especially whatever's going on in our heads, that also is a factor. But if I can make sure that I'm allowing things to become natural through the day, through my practice and through my discipline, then that natural stage is what will help me at that time when there is an emergency or a crisis. And if I haven't developed that awareness through the day, then I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm not going to be able to manage. And so each Murli has many, many different things for us to practice and experience and experiment with. But especially the Avyakt Murlis, in Sakar Murlis we get Baba's Gyan and Brahma Baba's experiences. But in the Avyakt Murlis we get to know what is the effort that Baba himself made that brought him so quickly to his Karmatit stage. And so obviously if I follow and do the same, then I'm going to also be able to achieve the same. And last thing that I want to touch on is the whole subject of the treasures that Baba has given us. When I read this Murli, it was last Saturday that we heard the Murli on the transmission, and Baba spoke about Baba's children being the highest, the holiest, the richest in the world. And it felt very powerful because here is God giving us all these titles and reminding us this is who you are. And I know that when we would sit in front of Avyakt Baba and Baba would generate that energy and 25,000 people and other people watching outside, but especially in that hall, 25,000 people would feel uplifted. And of course the earlier time was when they all clapped and clapped and clapped. Baba would say something like that, everybody would clap. In the days of Shantivan, earlier days in Shantivan, in Om Shanti Bhavan, it was different. It was a lot of maturity from the Brahmins there at that time. But Shantivan, and the doors opened up to many, many new people who were coming to Baba. And so they'd clap at everything. And how many times Shashivan had to tell them, please only clap when it's appropriate or when Baba asks you to clap. Sometimes Baba would ask us to clap. But the highest, the holiest, the richest, just imagine God giving us these titles. And so now we don't have that physical presence anymore, but we have to create our own stage of being in that awareness of that highest, the holiest and the richest. Because Baba's reminding me that's who I am. And so can I ever feel discontent when I remember just these three words from Baba's Murli? The highest, now people in positions of power are sitting on a chair filled with many thorns and so many, many troubles, many, many problems. Not just a crown of thorns, but imagine sitting on a cushion of thorns, and it's highly uncomfortable. But when Baba's talking about his children being the highest, and right now, not even deities, but right now being the children of God, and it is the highest title anyone could ever get, that they are a child of God. And it's equally available to everyone. When you come to the deities, it's number wives. But when you come just to that awareness of being a child of God, nothing to do with qualifications, nothing to do with effort, nothing to do with any work on our side, but just simply the joy and the beauty of being the child of God. And then the holiest. At this moment, on the one side, it's the soul that's becoming pure, but on the other side, the soul is a server. And so deities, yes, mind and body and soul, everything is completely pure, and so they're worthy of worship. But in fact, a holy place is where people go to experience solace. When there's sorrow, then they remember God. When there's sorrow, then they remember the temple or the church. And so it's a place of solace. And so if my stage is that in which I'm with Baba, and in my presence others are able to feel some comfort and solace, people are experiencing many tragedies at the moment, things that normally just wouldn't be happening in life are all happening. And just recently there's a case of a father and son both getting COVID and both flying away. The mother also got COVID, but quite seriously, but she recovered. But father and son both have left. And the son in particular, not many sons today. You hear of many daughters, but not so many sons. But this son decided not to marry because he wanted to care for his parents. And so he was basically their carer. But also in his free time, he would go and serve in a temple. And he had many skills. He would help them, whether it was IT or whether it was a kitchen, but he was constantly serving. And not only the immediate family, but also family and extended family and friends, when they hear of this story, then of course the question, why? And who knows what is the karma of each soul? Certainly we don't. But also, to turn it around and to know that each soul has its own part to play. And if the soul is carrying good sanskars with itself, and the soul is actually experiencing the power of blessings in terms of the service it has done, it's carrying that with itself. It's not finished. And so there's another place where that soul will go and serve. For us, it's a simple idea, because Baba's Gyan has taught us that when somebody leaves, this is our immediate thought. They've gone to serve in the advanced party, and whatever effort they've made, they're carrying that service with themselves. They're carrying those sanskars. Very simple Gyan, not complicated. And yet for people out there, they don't know this. And so the questions of why, how, all of these batter them. And they feel very helpless and very sad. And then just a little bit of explanation of what it is that Gyan has taught us. And you can turn it around. And they begin to appreciate it, and they begin to understand in a better way what has happened. And so the solace that Baba's children are able to offer people, especially at this time when people are so unhappy, so distressed, It's amazing service that is possible just with a little bit of gyan. So the holiest, the place that can offer solace, the souls that can offer solace, they come to you to take solace, and just looking around and just knowing who's watching and listening, I know to a certain extent everybody's had this experience. Even a little bit of gyan that you offer to people who maybe don't want to know about God, but a little bit of gyan, and you're able to help them understand and be able to come to a different awareness and a state of stability. So definitely the holiest. When we are aware of who we are and we are fulfilling the task that God has given. And then the third, the richest. The story about Dadi Kumarka in the early days of the Yajna, and some of you may have heard this, that maybe not. Baba had an advert put in the newspapers at that time. This would have been the late 30s or early 40s. And the offer was, do you want to marry the richest girl in the world? And there was a photograph of Dadi Prakashmani. And Baba was very entertaining. And so this photograph and advertisement went around. And of course they got phone calls and Dadi got to hear about it. And she went to Baba, Baba, why didn't you tell me you were going to do this? And Baba said to her, would you have let me if I would have asked you? And of course she knew that it would have been very difficult for her to say yes to Baba. But Baba did it knowing that her faith and loyalty and trust were absolute. And so it was fine. But the richest in the world, if you want to marry one of the richest girls in the world, come to the Om Mandli. That was exactly what Baba had put. And so today, many, many of us, not just one, but all of us, the richest. And the feeling of contentment when you think about all the things that Baba gives us in one worli is just incredible. So enjoy the experience of being on top of the world and beyond the top of the world, and just be with Baba. Om Shanti.